welcome back to our second hour of Catholic Answers Live. We had a fun first hour talking about socialism, capitalism. Can a Catholic be a socialist? But we're now switching topics here. We had one dynamic duo before, myself and my co-author, Catherine Bacalik. This hour, we have another dynamic duo. We have Dr. Greg Popchak, who is the director of CatholicCounselors.com, a Catholic telecounseling practice helping Catholic individuals, couples, and families worldwide to find faithful solutions to life problems. And he's author of over 20 books, including The Life God Wants You to Have. Also joining us is his son, Jacob Popchak, who is a pastoral counseling associate with CatholicCounselors.com. Jacob is an expert on practical applications of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body, and he's an author and illustrator of several books, including his most recent release from OSV, God the Father and the Best Day Ever, a children's picture book about the amazing things Jesus did after his resurrection. And that's good because we're going into Lent, and the topic of today's show is fasting from falsehoods. When we think about Lent, or the Great Fast, if you're in the Eastern tradition, we think about giving up things that normally bring us joy, especially pleasure, bodily pleasure, corporal pleasure, because we find that it's easier to say yes to God. Every yes we say to God usually or almost always involves saying no to something else of this world. So we can't get better at saying yes to God until we get better at saying no to other things we really want to do, and hence whatever you may be fasting from or giving up from in Lent. But maybe what you need to fast from to help you is to fast from things that are actually bad for you. What's funny is sometimes the things we want most, we know they're bad, we know they're not that great for us, and we still indulge in them anyways. We need to fast from that, to fast from those falsehoods. And that is what Dr. Greg Popchak and Jacob Popchak are going to share with us here today on the show. If you have a question related to that, and we'll get into the topic more as we move closer in the show, be sure to call us at 888-318-7884. Dr. Popchak, Jacob, do we have you on the line?
You do indeed.
All right, perfect. Well, tell us a little more then. I've given people a preview here, but you're encouraging listeners to practice hashtag lental health, which at first when Darren told me, I thought that meant eating a lot of lentils, which I've been doing lately. But no, lental health, you know, mental health. We want lental health for 40 days and hashtag fast from falsehood. Tell us a little bit more about this campaign you're encouraging for people.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. I mean, you seem to have covered most of it there for us. No, I'm kidding. No, it's a really cool thing that we're trying to do here, because what we find is, especially among Catholics, there's this tendency to look at Lent as this sort of like dark, heavy time. And for those of us who are struggling with mental health issues, that's not a great thing, right? That can be exacerbating for a lot of the issues that we tend to deal with, the depression, the anxiety, the relationship woes that we're dealing with. But what I find interesting in my own reading of the gospel, and this is even reflected in a lot of what Pope Francis was saying recently, even last weekend, is that Lent wasn't a time where Jesus went out and sort of arbitrarily suffered. Right. Lent was a time where Jesus went out into the deserted places of his life, the desert, quite literally for him. For us, it can be, you know, more subjective than that. And he challenged those lies which Satan was speaking to his heart, just as we can challenge the lies that Satan bombards our minds with.
Mm-hmm. And so this Lental Health Initiative is all about going into the desert with our Lord and confronting the lies that Satan uses to hold us back from God's love, from the life that God wants us to live. And so we're asking folks to join us in posting a truth every day that that combats the lies that Satan is whispering in their spiritual ear, the lies that, as I said, hold them back from God's love and the life that God wants them to live. And so we're using those hashtags Lental Health or hashtag Fast from Falsehood as well.
Wonderful. And so if you have questions about mental health, especially in the time of Lent, how to develop a healthy mental life, spiritual life, how to avoid problematic mental health issues, how to get away from those falsehoods that are causing you distress or anxiety in your life. Could be negative self-talk, could be many things. If you want to know how to practice good lental health for your mental health, ask a question. We got Dr. Greg Popchak and Jacob Popchak here on the phones, ready for you at 888-318-7884. What will you gentlemen say? What are some really common examples of falsehoods that people need to fast from? And what are some truths they might be able to put in its place?
I think the biggest ones, just as, you know, they were for Christ, tend to be in regards to identity. You know, I'm not good enough. What I'm doing is not enough, or it's not making enough of a difference. If I were holier, things would be different. You know, these are very common lies that almost seem humble and sacred, and because of that are especially insidious. But, you know, during Lent, especially as we're called to engage with the truest identities that God has bestowed upon us, it's important to focus on and give particular voice to the positive truths that correct those lies. So, you know, the fact that you are enough, the fact that, as, you know, Dr. Hahn often says, Dr. Scott Hahn, you know, God loves you just as you are and also loves you enough to not leave you that way. Mm. You know, the fact that the stuff you are doing is making a difference slowly but surely. You know, the fact that God already gave you the identity that he wants you to have. These sorts of things are much more in line with the truth that God has for you, and they're much more in line with what he wants you to believe about yourself, as opposed to sort of the quote-unquote holy roller lies that Satan would sell you in exchange.
Mm-hmm. So if, for another example, you know, if someone who is struggling with body image issues and feeling bad about their weight or the way they look in some way might say, you know, I praise God for giving me a body to experience his blessing and be a blessing to others. Or someone who is feeling down on their ability to be competent in their role as a parent or in their work, you know, might combat that lie by saying, you know, God, I'm a work in progress, and God has given me the grace I need to do what he's asked me to do. You know, or even God believes in me. You know, the reality is that even when we don't believe in ourselves, God does believe in us, and he put us in the position that we're in because he knows that with his grace we can succeed. And so claiming those truths and coming against those falsehoods enables us to face the battles that we have to face.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me...
What I'd also add to
Ahead. Go ahead.
Thanks. What I'd also add to that is, you know, I think there's a tendency in social media to really dwell in the darkness, too. You know, I write a whole blog post about how much I'm struggling, or I write a whole blog post about how messy my home is, or, you know, whatever it happens to be, and to look to get some affirmation from my followers or my subscribers because, oh, woe is me, everything in my life stinks so much. And this is very much the opposite of that. This is saying, you know what, whatever lie it is, it doesn't matter, right? Sort of following in the example of John Vianney, who, according to folklore, came down and faced Satan and said, oh, it's only you, and walked away and went back to bed, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we want to take a look at that lie and say, what is this lie that's bringing me down today? And then ignore it. And instead of that, just write down the positive affirmation, the positive truth that would go toe-to-toe with it. Write that down. And then if you want to be part of the community that we are building on social media through this process, you know, snap a photo of that affirmation and post that with those hashtags so that, you know, instead of wandering through a desert of your own making this Lent, you can be really walking towards the resurrection, not only of Christ, but of the person that he wants you to be, the person he made you to be in his great plan.
It reminds me of 2 Timothy 2:13, where St. Paul says of God that if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That even if we stop believing in ourselves and engage in negative self-talk and want to deprecate and downplay the gift we are that God made us to be, God's not going to buy into that along with us. He's going to encourage us to reject those kinds of falsehoods, and that's what we need to fast from in this Lenten season. So when we come back after this, we will talk about that more with Dr. Greg Popcheck and Jacob Popcheck. We already have callers filling up the line. If you have a question about mental health, practicing good mental health, give us a call at 888-318-7884. But also, just want to let you all know, we have a free ebook for you. That's right. You get a free ebook. Don't even have to call in. You can just go right to our website to get that. A special new ebook for our listeners you can get right now, 20 Answers Prayer by our very own Father Hugh and Father Sebastian Walsh, both treasures that we've had down here at the Apostolate. I've interviewed Father Walsh for my podcast, TrenthornPodcast.com. Those are great. These men are both very wise and have great insights on prayer. If you want to get your free ebook, 20 Answers Prayer, go to shop.catholic.com. Look for the banner at the top of the page to download your free copy. Get your free copy of 20 Answers Prayer. All you have to do is go to shop.catholic.com, click on the banner above. And when we come back, Anonymous, David, we will be hearing your questions for Dr. Popcheck and for his son, Jacob. So we will be right back right after this.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The Trump administration rolls back the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
U.S. bishops calling for the total elimination of nuclear weapons.
Pope Francis offers prayers for the victims of the California wildfires.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
Your link to news headlines Catholics count on at the top of the hour. Weekdays on EWTN Radio.
And welcome back to our second hour of Catholic Answers Live. We have Dr. Greg Popcheck and Jacob Popcheck on the phone to talk to you about Lenten health, how to practice good mental health during Lent, to fast from falsehoods, and to be the people God wants us to be. Have you ever wanted to speak to a Catholic counselor? Some people may say, maybe you should go to a counselor. You should be careful about that. There's a lot of counselors out there who will give you a lot of bad advice that will contradict what the church teaches. They're not the best people to go to who don't understand the human person in their complete form, to understand us as being made in the image and likeness of God, and that the Catholic Church is a treasury of wisdom for us to draw from. So you might say, but I don't know a good Catholic counselor that lives in my area. Well, what if you could find one right through your internet connection? You can find that at CatholicCounselors.com through Dr. Popcheck and Jacob Popcheck. So gentlemen, tell us a bit more about CatholicCounselors.com and how you practice telecounseling.
Sure. Well, we started in 1999, and we've been going on for almost 20 years. And we have 11 counselors on our staff who are licensed therapists, who have additional postgraduate training in pastoral theology, and are all trained in applying the theology of the body to challenges of daily life. We work with Catholic individuals, couples, and families all over the world, and actually we in English and Spanish as well. And we do over 15,000 sessions a year with Catholics all over the world. So we are happy to help folks whatever they're dealing with, wherever they are.
Wonderful. And I will definitely encourage our listeners to go and check that out. It's CatholicCounselors.com. Let's go to the phones now. We have David in Omaha, Nebraska, listening to us on Spirit Catholic Radio. Always love being out there for the Omaha Spirit Catholic Radio conferences when Catholic Answers is invited to that. David in Omaha, what's your question?
Hello.
Howdy.
Yeah, I struggle with memories of bad things that I've done or just mistakes that I've made. And whenever these memories come to mind, I become severely depressed. And it can take me up to an hour to work my way back out of that. Just wondering if you had any suggestions for dealing with that.
David, can I ask you first, what kind of help have you tried to get so far for that?
I'm seeing a therapist here in town, and we're using EMDR to address that. But I was just, I was listening to the radio and heard you were coming on the air, and so I thought I'd give you a call.
Thank you, David. And one other question: are these things that you've done, do you consider them sins? And if so, have you been to confession for them?
Occasionally they're sins. Usually they're not. Things that are sins, I have gone to confession for.
Okay, good. But either way, you're having a hard time forgiving yourself.
Trying to short-circuit my my mental health.
Okay. What you're dealing with sounds like, and of course, you know, I can't diagnose officially over the air, but it's similar to what we might call scrupulosity, which is a kind of obsessive compulsive disorder that's concerned with spiritual contamination as opposed to physical contamination. You know, most people think of OCD as that hand washing disorder because they're, you know, we're germophiles or whatever. But with scrupulosity, it's a type of OCD that focuses on spiritual contamination, the things that I've done wrong that I can't get out of my head, or things that I have to do in order to earn God's love or mercy or forgiveness. So does that sound familiar to you, David?
Well, the first one, you know, things that I've done wrong that I just can't forgive myself for.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do. What the lie, okay, that I believe that Satan is whispering in your spiritual ear is that you can't be forgiven, that you've done certain things that have either separated you from God's love so much that he can't forgive you, or that you've done certain things that, you know, have made you out to be a fool or have ruined your life in some way that you just can't get past. And you know, those kinds of thoughts, the best way to come against them is to really focus instead on experiences of God's love. It's not just a matter of saying to yourself, God loves you. It's a matter of sitting down with a notebook and actually writing out times that you've experienced the presence of God in your life. Write down those times when you've encountered his love, and start writing down the blessings, those little blessings every day that come as hugs from God, if you will. I mean, everything as silly as, you know, I found a parking space near the grocery store and God provided that for me, to as significant as, you know, I got hit with an unexpected bill and the money was there to pay it. I mean, and everything in between. The reality is God loves us so much and he's so extravagant with his love. He pours out those blessings every single day and we just ignore them all. But the more you focus in on all the different ways God is trying to say, David, I love you. And you write those things down, and then I want you to praise him for each one of those things out loud. Lord God, I praise you for this gift today. I praise you for this time that you showed up for me. I praise you for pouring out your love for me in this way. I praise you for being here for me and loving me through this experience, even when I was doubting myself. Writing those things down, expressing that gratitude back to God for all the ways that he's loving you is the best way to fight back against these kinds of thoughts. In fact, St. Ignatius of Loyola struggled with scrupulosity as well. And this is one of the things that he talked about in his fight against these kinds of thoughts, to really root ourselves in the experience of God's love and focus in on that when the enemy tries to separate us from that love with these kinds of thoughts about how God can't forgive us. And that's a basic way to start fighting back. And I'm glad you're working with a good therapist. I want you to keep that up. But just to give you something off the call, I think this is the place to start. And I would write that down every day. And I think that you'll be surprised after a couple of weeks of really tracking all the ways that God is loving you, all the ways that God is reaching out to you, and praising him for those things, you're going to be surprised to see the difference that it makes in your mood and your attitude toward yourself.
David, is that helpful?
Thank you very much.
Is that helpful, David?
Yes, that's very helpful.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for calling in. And if any of you are out there, you have questions about mental health, scrupulosity, fasting from falsehoods, practicing good mental health for your mental health, be sure to give us a call. We've got two great counselors here on the line, Greg Popcheck and Jacob Popcheck, here to answer your questions at 888-318-7884. Greg and Jacob, I guess I have a question of mine following up some of the advice that you gave to David about journaling and keeping track of these things to make them more concrete. It reminds me a little bit, and I'd love to get your guys' opinion on this, of what is called cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT. I know Catholic therapists who enjoy using it. Others, it's not necessarily their cup of tea. Some of our listeners may have heard of it. I have found it to be very helpful for myself in dealing with things like anxiety, for example, which can be related to scrupulosity, always worrying about things you shouldn't worry about. And so these principles in cognitive behavioral therapy, I've seen them to be helpful. And I noticed an echo in in a little bit of your advice. Perhaps you could speak to more what CBT is and how, if you do incorporate it into your work, or what your thoughts are on it.
Sure. So cognitive behavior therapy looks at the bad thinking habits that we all have where we experience certain thoughts that undermine our ability to respond effectively to whatever challenges that we face. And it looks at how those thoughts create emotional experiences and cause us to make choices that, you know, work against our good and end up causing us bigger problems than we even, you know, would have otherwise. And so a cognitive behavior therapist will help a client learn how to identify those thoughts and fight back and overcome those thoughts. Now, what we do at CatholicCounselors.com is we integrate CBT with Ignatian principles of spiritual discernment. Mm-hmm. So when we identify a cognitive distortion, for example, like, let's say, catastrophizing. Catastrophizing is a common cognitive distortion that goes along with anxiety disorders. And catastrophizing is where I kind of, a friend of mine puts it this way. She says when her husband is late from work, she goes from zero to widow in 60 seconds, right? That's catastrophizing.
Right.
When I just automatically think of what if? What if this horrible thing happens? What if I get this disease and die? What if, you know? So that's an example of a cognitive
or the reason someone hasn't called me back about a job opportunity or a get together is because they hate me and they can't stand me at all, and our relationship is ruined. They jump to the worst case scenario immediately, irrationally.
Exactly.
So yeah,
exactly. So in addition to addressing that from a CBT perspective, we'll also talk about that as what Ignatius called a desolation. So we'll identify both the psychological terms and conditions for these false thoughts, but we also look at the spiritual roots of those false thoughts, that Satan is whispering a desolation, if you will, in your spiritual ear, that's seeking to separate you either from God's love or from the person that God wants you to be. And so then we'll identify both psychological and spiritual tools to be able to come against those false thoughts that hold us back.
Mm-hmm. Jacob, I have a question for you. I think some people may say, well, isn't this all, you know, we're using modern medical science and we're getting away from just biblical truths that God has given us to deal with anxiety. What would you say to people who might say that this approach you're offering, you know, fasting from falsehoods, they might say this sounds new agey or self-help, that it doesn't have a strong biblical or theological foundation. How would you respond to that?
Well, I'd say two things. First of all, you know, it's really important to recognize that in the tradition of the church, you know, we are human beings, right? We're not just purely spiritual beings. We are not purely physical beings. We are human beings, as Pope St. John Paul II often describes in his Theology of the Body. And in that, we are holistic creatures. There's nothing I can do for my spirit, for my soul. There's nothing I can allow God to do on a spiritual level that wouldn't then automatically also affect my body, my psyche, everything else, vice versa. There's nothing I could do for my body or for my psyche that would not in turn affect my soul. We are multidimensional, holistic creatures, and we are created to be such, right? This is what it means to be an incarnate faith. This is what it means to worship a resurrected and bodily and physical God. You know, but what I would say is, in regards to these distortions, these desolations, and these false beliefs that we often are tempted to fall into, you know, we see them as the major impediment to knowing God throughout not just the New Testament, but also the Old. I mean, think about the great prophets who doubt God only to be given, you know, a nap and a snack and find out, hey, they were actually doubting him the whole time. Think about, right, you know, Moses, who is asked to approach God, the Holy of Holies, that sacred ground by the burning bush, and is terrified because he doesn't believe he's fit for it. Think of Mary Magdalene encountering Christ first resurrected and not even recognizing him because her heart is so hardened by grief. Mm-hmm. Right? These are the mental health aspects of ourselves, our own self-doubt, our own grief, our own past wounds that get in the way of allowing God to do, as my father, Dr. Greg, was just a moment ago saying, showing his love through those daily actions, those daily consolations that would build us up and build us closer to heaven.
Mm-hmm. And I would just add very briefly, you know, Jesus himself says that the truth will set us free. And that's really what we're talking about here, the truths that set us free from the snares of Satan. Who whispers these lies into our ear to hold us back from God's love and from living the life that God wants us to live. And when we proclaim the truth back to Satan and lean into that truth, just as Jesus did, we are able to rise up from the cross that Satan wants to nail us to and keep us stuck on.
Very good. Well, I'm super excited that you guys are sharing this on social media, and I hope that you all will take part in that as well. And also go and visit their website at CatholicCounselors.com. If you're looking for a good counselor, you don't have to be restricted to whoever is within a 10-minute, 30-minute drive of where you live, because sometimes, you know, counselors who are committed to the teaching of, our faith can be few and hard to find. But you've got a lot of them, nearly a dozen, waiting for you at CatholicCounselors.com. So I hope that you all will be able to go and check that out and consider fasting from one of these falsehoods and putting a truth on your social media feed every day for the rest of Lent to glorify God. And I think the best way to answer these falsehoods we have when we listen to this negative self-talk, when the devil whispers in our ear something that's not true, a lie. He is the father of lies. It's what he does best. But what God does best is truth, because he is truth. Let's share his truth about us and who he made us to be. So go and do that. We still got more time coming up and people waiting to speak. Spencer and Geraldine, do stay on the line. We want to hear from you about how to practice your questions on mental health coming up next here on Catholic Answers Live.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Are you bombarded by robocalls?
We want to hear from you on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern.
Now let's get back to more of Catholic Answers Live.
It's our second hour here at Catholic Answers Live. And we are talking about good mental health, how to fast from falsehoods with two wonderful gentlemen from CatholicCounselors.com, Dr. Greg Popcheck and his son, Jacob Popcheck. And so a lot of times during Lent, we focus on spiritual health, growing closer to God. We focus on bodily health by giving up those sweets and goodies that aren't really that good for us to grow closer to God and maybe shave off a few calories along the way. Bodily health, spiritual health, but sometimes we forget mental health, about making sure that our minds are functioning properly and we're not weighed down by falsehoods, by anxieties, by things God does not want us to have there, and to replace them with the good things God wants us to have, to love our Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and all of our mental life. So we're going to practice good mental health for the remainder of the second hour here of Catholic Answers Live. And to do that, we're going to go to our next caller. It is Spencer from Washington, listening to Sacred Heart Radio. Spencer, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Yeah, hello, guys. Thank you for taking my call. What a great subject. I'm glad I'm in my car driving right now, speakerphone, of course. But what a I'm being blessed by hearing your program right now and the doctor's help. Really good recommendations. My issue is, please, being Lentinol. I've struggled for 20-odd years being able to fast. I do not have the willpower to fast. And I could use to lose, you know, 20-30 pounds, but I know fasting would help me, and I know that's what God wants for me, but I just don't have the mental clarity or discipline, and I'm thinking the doctor might have some recommendations for me to help me improve in that area, please.
Well, let's hear, Jacob, what are some of your thoughts, especially maybe some of the biblical foundations for fasting, how God gave this to us as a gift, and Dr. Greg, love your insights as well. Jacob, what do you think?
Well, Spencer, I'm curious, when you talk about fasting, I guess it's important to define that. What are you trying to do? What do you mean? Talk about some specific practices that you've tried over the course of the years that you feel like you haven't done so well at.
Well, my daughter's been vegan for 4 years now, and my wife does vegan for Lent, and I'm barely able to not eat meat on Friday. And speaking of last Friday, oh, well, I got to go to confession for that. But, I know that, like, once a week, if I can abstain from food, I would get mental clarity, spiritual clarity, and it'd be healthier for my body. So food.
You mean for the entire day, abstain from food? That would be your goal?
When I was Protestant, I went to a conference, and the guy said, like, 1 or 2 days a week, if you can abstain from food, just the blessings he got. And I've always thought that was true, and I appreciate opportunity to do that, and I know God wants me to
do
that.
Okay. I think I'm getting a better sense of where you're coming from, Spencer. You know, look, with every ounce of due respect to the Protestant gentleman that you were exposed to a couple of years ago, you know, we as Catholics have a different conception of fasting, right? We don't fast to save ourselves or to pull ourselves up by our own spiritual bootstraps, so to speak. We fast as a love letter to God. It really has very little to do with the fact that, you know, oh, I could use to lose a couple pounds here, or, you know, this other thing over there. It's merely that I'm saying, hey, I really love this thing, be it meat or chocolate or television or whatever it is. But you know what, Jesus, I love you more, and I'm going to give this up for a time, whether that's today or the next 5 minutes, just to show you that. It's important to not be insane or too crazy serious about that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not ultimately about the scruple. It's not ultimately about doing it for yourself. It's about doing it as a little love letter. Think about it, you know, in regards to any other human relationship you'd have, Spencer. You know, there's some times where you're really tired, right? But you're going to unload the dishwasher. Or you're going to take out the trash, even though you don't feel very good, just to show your wife that you love her. You don't want her to have to do it. In the same way, you know, we're saying to God during Lent, you know those stinky things, those gross things that I don't really like to do? I'm going to do one or two extra of those, even for a little bit, you know, just to show you that I care about you. So if you're having trouble giving up, you know, meat on a Friday, just give up meat for one meal. Take it slowly. We'll work up to it, right? Maybe don't give up food all day. You know, that's kind of a higher level of monasticism, a higher level of spirituality that maybe here some of us will get to once we're a little bit closer to sainthood. But for now, just try to change the little things that you're already doing to feel and be a little bit closer to God and show him just a little more clearly, you know what, I love these things, but I love you a little bit more.
You know, and I one of the things I'll add to what Jacob was sharing is that one of our sayings in our practice is be serious, not scrupulous. And Jacob sort of alluded to that it's all about, you know, asking, well, how can I take a small step toward what I want to do, right? So, you know, even if it's just eating a little bit less than you would normally eat, you know, take a third off your plate, you know, and cut back on that. So the point is, it's not this sort of all or nothing thinking. That's another cognitive distortion, a sort of polarized all or nothing thinking. The lie that Satan whispers in our spiritual ear there is, if you can't do everything, if you can't do a black fast, what's the point of doing anything at all, right? because God doesn't want a half effort. You know, he wants the whole thing, so don't even bother, right? And the truth there is that I can't save myself, that only God's grace saves me, and I can only do what Jacob was saying, just offer those little dandelions to God, just like a little child would offer to his mother to say, I love you. Those little gestures that say, I'm trying to cooperate with your grace as best I can, and I trust in your grace to make up the difference in the lack of my efforts.
Spencer, is that helpful for you?
Yes, it was, because that's my mentality. It's like, I gotta do it all, or, you know, I didn't even think about doing a little.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. Well, I'm glad that that's helpful. And if you want to follow up with Dr. Popchak or Jacob, you might want to check them out at CatholicCounselors.com. And if you're interested in learning more as listeners, you might want to go to that website as well. Spencer, thank you so much for joining us. Next on the phone, we have Marcia calling us from Tucson, Arizona. Marcia, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. And I think Marcia has fasted from Catholic Answers Live. She took your guys'
Marcia
advice and said,
left the building.
Yeah, she said, you know what, Catholic Answers Live is such a good thing. She's gonna fast from it, at least for this small portion of Lent. Very, very small thing. Never mind. You couldn't keep to the fast. I think we have her back. Marcia, are you there? Marcia? All right. Well,
I thought Darth Vader had joined us for a second on the line there.
Yes, yeah, I've been struggling with the loss of loved ones. Oh no! If Darth Vader calls in, I have a lack of faith that I find disturbing.
Disturbing. There you go.
Yeah,
it's true. We're giving him a Jedi mind tricks for that.
Let's.
This is not the caller you want right now. Yeah. You know, we were talking about these the idea of fasting from falsehood, and if folks would like to learn more about this whole process,
yes,
of being able to tune in more to God's voice, and really hearing Him speaking to them, and really clinging to the truths that can deliver us from these lies that Satan is whispering in our spiritual ear, I'd encourage people to check out the book "The Life God Wants You to Have," which is all about discernment, especially discerning God's will when things have not turned out the way we wished, and we're feeling deflated, we're feeling disappointed, we're feeling discouraged, we're caught up in all those cognitive distortions and desolations that Satan wants to trap us in. How do we break free from those traps and discover the next chapter that God is writing for us in our lives? So that's The Life God Wants You to Have, and folks can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com.
All right, wonderful. And of course, remember, if you'd like other resources to help you discover the life God wants you to have, to discover the role of the church in that life and its importance, the importance of Lent and sacrifice, so many resources like that available at our store-wide spring sale at shop.catholic.com. All of our books, CDs, DVDs, MP3s, ebooks, and more are on sale for 10 to 25% off. Great time to get those resources at shop.catholic.com. And if you would like a little bit more audio encouragement throughout your week to learn about your faith, to grow in it, and to learn all kinds of other fun, interesting things on Fridays, you can check out my podcast, the Trent Horn Podcast. That is called The Council of Trent, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, of course. Council of Trent, available at trenthornpodcast.com for premium subscribers who get access to bonus content and are able to allow the podcast to reach a lot of people around the world. And so many other great resources for you. So check that out at TrenthornPodcast.com and also our great resources at shop.catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
He is honored by the Church as a saint, but the
title of the angelic doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back. It's the second hour, beginning our Monday off right here on Catholic Answers Live. We have Dr. Greg Popcheck and his son Jacob Popcheck from CatholicCounselors.com helping us to fast from falsehoods and practice good mental health, or as they call it, Lenten health, this Lenten season. If you have questions about mental health, how to get away from those negative thoughts you feel like are tearing you down, causing you anxiety God does not want you to have, be sure to give us a call at 888-318-7884. Perhaps you, both of you, could speak a little bit more to this. I mean, we could do a whole show on it, obviously. It's such a big topic for many people. But I think one common thread, we discussed this a little bit with previous callers, but it's well worth going over again. I think a lot of people who try to enter into the Lenten season and fasting and, you know, there are more obligations placed upon us, you know, days of abstinence and fasting, things like that. They want to grow closer to God, but they're worried about scruples. Following God and being obedient to God is a great source of anxiety to them, always feeling like they're one misstep away from ending up in eternal damnation. I think a lot of people listening struggle with scrupulosity. For both of you, what would you say are some resources you recommend, ways of approaching the issue? Jacob, perhaps you could help us take a look at this from a biblical and a theological perspective of what God's revelation can tell us about these kind of anxious worries we have when it comes to scruples.
Well, the first thing I'd say is that, you know, well, not necessarily, I would never prescribe or subscribe to our Lord as having scruples per se, but, you know, even Jesus himself dealt with those anxieties. I mean, this is the template that we buy into, that we listen to for all of Lent, right? Christ goes off into the desert, and he hears these specific lies of Satan, and he challenges them, and he dispenses of them, and he asks us to do the same. You know, those struggles, that is to say, that we're all dealing with, are a little bit part of being human, and Jesus comes to heal those aspects of our humanity that are most hurting. That said, as far as those of us who take those normal human anxieties and allow them to be twisted by Satan into the fullness of what the Church calls scrupulosity, or what, you know, we in the clinical mental health profession sometimes refer to as obsessive compulsive disorder, or, you know, varying similar diagnoses, you know, I think those things tend to have to do with this belief that I have to do it all by myself. And ultimately what they rest in is God doesn't love me enough to do this for me. It says I have to climb up on my cross and die for myself, because unless I'm perfect by my own merits, Jesus is not going to love me enough. So I got to fast from everything. I got to be perfect. I can't mess up at all. And I got to tell anybody who's listening right now, that's not the God we believe in. That's not to say go mess up and, you know, go crazy intentionally, right? Go sin like a lunatic just because you're like, Jesus will forgive me no matter what I do. But that is to say, we believe in a relationship with a radically loving physical creator, with a God who suffered and died for us because he thought we were personally worth it. He certainly thinks you're worth it enough to give you a second chance if you accidentally eat a chicken nugget on a Friday. You know,
one of our other counselors, David McClough, has a wonderful way of putting this. He says, okay, so what's 100 plus infinity? It's infinity, right? That's the answer. I mean, we're not going to make anybody do any higher-level math.
Right.
What's zero plus infinity? It's still infinity. What's negative 1,000 plus infinity? Well, it's still infinity. How about negative billion plus infinity? Still infinity. God loves us infinitely. His mercy is infinite. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. It doesn't matter how bad you think you are. It doesn't add or take anything away from God's love and mercy for you. Are the efforts, the things that we do, aren't there to save ourselves? God doesn't need any of that. And none of it counts, so to speak. The only thing that matters is God's love and God's mercy. We do the things we do not to prove ourselves worthy to God or prove ourselves good enough or worth his love, but to say, God, here's something small I can do to try to show you that I love you back for loving me so infinitely much. And that's the perspective we need to have on these Lenten sacrifices. It's not about, you know, like Jacob said, nailing ourselves to our own cross and trying to, you know, make ourselves suffer enough to be worthy of redemption. It's about doing something to say, I love you back, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I would add one more final thing to that premise, which is that all the greatest moments of closeness and vulnerability that any of the great saints or prophets experienced with Christ were not actually as a result of their being great people. They were always a result of them being pretty screw-up people that God loved anyway. You know, think about Peter denying Christ and then having that tremendous moment of intimate closeness with Christ where Christ gives him the reins of the church and makes him pontiff. Or think about, you know, St. Thomas, doubting Thomas, quote-unquote, who does not believe in Christ and then gets to experience the intimacy of putting his hands into God's own wounds. I mean, this goes to that great prayer of the church, right? O felix culpa, O happy fault, right? There's a little sort of bittersweet joy that we feel over even having been able to sin, because although we hate sin, certainly, and we reject it at any point we can, it's also the thing that allows us to allow Jesus to clean us up, to tend to our wounds. If we didn't have those wounds in the first place, God would have no way to show us as deeply and as vulnerably as he gets to how much he loves us. So even those things, he upcycles, so to speak, right? We're all familiar with upcycling, that practice of taking the dirty old boot and turning the flower pot, the sweater and turning it with holes in it and turning it into a blanket. You know, God wants to take those, what we think are two filthy parts of our lives, and quite literally resurrect them into something gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Let's switch to subjects here a little bit. We're talking about Lent and entering into different trials we have in life. I think also for many of our listeners, a lot of trials they may be facing when it comes to their spiritual and their mental health may come even from their own marriages. I think a lot of people probably come to CatholicCounselors.com seeking marital advice. Marital counseling is something that's growing in popularity for people. And they may be saying, well, you know, what do I do when the cross it feels like I have to bear is this other person I'm married to? And there's that temptation to want to say, I don't want to carry this cross anymore. It's too much for me to bear. And I know, Greg, that you actually wrote a great book on this subject called When Divorce is Not an Option, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love.
Right.
So for both of you, how would you help us? So I think a lot of people may have struggles in these areas that may come up.
Sure, and for folks who are looking for that, there's a new cover with the subtitles, now the title, so it's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. But same
book. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all right. You're good. But the thing to keep in mind, when we're talking about what the cross actually is, when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, you know, the person isn't the cross. You know, my husband isn't the cross. My kid isn't the cross. My wife isn't the cross. The thing that I'm in, my job isn't the cross. This circumstance I'm in isn't the cross. My relationship with that person is the cross. My response to that challenge is the cross. The thing I'm doing in relation to that person or situation is my cross. And when I pick up my cross and follow Jesus, what that means is I have to be humble enough to say, I don't know what to do to affect the change that God wants to have happen here. So I'm going to open myself up to learning more, to getting help from my pastor, from spiritual reading, from a counselor, from people who can help me learn what I need to do differently to approach this situation in a more godly, more effective way. What most of us do when we try to pick up our cross is that we pick up the cross and then we stand there in place and we sink up to our necks in the mud with the cross weighing us down, because we think the cross is that person or the situation, and the way I'm supposed to grow holy is just by standing here holding the cross. And that's not it at all. It's I pick up the cross and then I follow Jesus to a different place where he's going to teach me what to do with that person or with that situation to bring God's grace into that place.
Well, and it's that teaching us what to do, I would add, that is really the whole fundamental spirit of Catholicism, right? A cross on a mountain by itself is not the victory of Christianity. A cross on a mountain by itself is defeat. A cross with resurrection, though, that's the basis of our faith. And, you know, anyone who feels like, who's listening right now, who feels like they're carrying a particular cross, be it in, as Dr. Greg was saying, response to a loved one or a not-so-loved one, or even to, as we're talking about, a desolation in their own head, you know, to carry your cross does not mean to put up and shut up and deal with it, which I think many Catholics unfortunately believe, oh, I've just got to carry my cross. No. Carrying your cross means saying to God, okay, this is my thing to deal with. How do I deal with it so that you can resurrect it?
Right.
How do I seek a better marriage with my partner? How do I seek a better parental relationship with my kid? How do I seek a holier relationship with you? Not to deal with it or to offer it up, but to carry it to Golgotha so that Christ can resurrect you from it,
right,
and resurrect it, in fact, into something holier and happier and healthier for everyone involved.
Well, we have time, I think, for one more question coming from me, which I think a lot of people probably have on their minds. What is a good way as we enter into Lent to help our children to develop these kinds of healthy Lental health practices to fast from falsehoods? It's amazing for me. I have a little, you know, a 2-year-old, soon to be 3-year-old, and a 5-year-old, that even once they reach like the age of 5, they have like this rich mental life with full of anxieties and concerns. And they remind me like little adults that have their neuroses they worry about and need help to fast and overcome. What are some ways we can help children to enter into this project you're talking about?
As a children's illustrator, I have a particular devotion to this idea. I love, you know, the counseling practice that enables me to help families with their kids and their spiritual development, you know, through CatholicCounselors.com. And the two things I would bring up is number one, you know, of course, let's remember that any kid below the age of reason, right, that's around 7 or 8 when we receive communion,
right,
is not in any way obliged to fast by the church. So let's just put that concretely out there. That said, we're never too young to grow in relationship with God, as you know, you're inferring there, Trent. And so to be able to say, to walk our kids through the narratives of, okay, do you see this picture? Do you see this statue? Do you see that purple fabric? Do you, you know, that's hanging in church? Do you see those objects that are on the altar? Those are love letters from God to you. You know, this, can you imagine when mommy and daddy, when you felt loved by mommy and daddy? Can you imagine when you felt loved by brother and sister? Those are the times that by a billion zillion, that's how much Jesus loves you. You know, Lent has to be for them an experience of first really encountering what it means to have someone love you that much. Later on, down the road, then they can learn how to respond in kind and say, I love you too, through things like fasting and all those sorts of practices. But right now in their lives, now is the time to just hear the great I love you. And the second thing I'd say is, you know, just to be able to really recognize that through your own kids, you know, we can draw closer to God as well. Jesus asks us to be like little children. And so when you're seeing your little kids try and mess up to draw closer to God and
remember, just like us,
that's how Jesus is seeing you as well.
And, you know, it's just important to remember that when we're talking about especially little children, like your kids' ages, Trent, you know, God gives our kids parents so that we can be his face to them.
Right.
And the more affectionate we are, the more loving we are, the more gentle we are, the more we correct them even gently, the more we're conveying God's love and grace to them and letting them know that it's okay to mess up and it's okay to make mistakes, because there's someone to love them and help them put it back together again. And that's an important spiritual lesson that they learn from mom and dad that then they take into their relationship with God as they get older as well.
Well, this has been a wonderful 2 hours of Catholic Answers Live here with both of you. I have to go home and hug my children, and I hope that you will as well. Thank you guys so much for being able to stop by. Be sure to visit CatholicCounselors.com. Check out Dr. Popchek's books. He's got a ton of them online that you can check out. I would highly recommend covering a wide gamut, including a book we discussed today, The Life God Wants You to Have. Gentlemen, thank you for stopping by.
Thanks, Trent. God bless.
All right, and be sure to...
Happy Lentil Health.
Yeah, happy Lentil Health. Share the Lentil Health hashtag and fast from falsehoods. I hope that you will as well. Thank you so much for being here. I hope that you will be with Catholic Answers Live tomorrow. We have 2 hours of open forum with one of our apologists who is amazing that will guide you through that. And pray that Mr. Cy Kellett will be back here in the seat with you all. I am Trent Horn, staff apologist, Catholic Answers, and I hope you all have a very blessed day.